dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world, one of the most important fronts of which is the specialty of our guest for this full hour, a very special broadcast of Secure Freedom Radio in which we're going to drill down for an hour with Kenneth Timmerman, an investigative reporter par excellence, a man who has written extensively both in the region and beyond about the Middle East and developments there. He is the author of some 10 books, including the brand new Dark Forces, The Truth About What Happened in Benghazi. It is wonderful to have him back with us. Ken, welcome. Thank you for taking a full hour to really drill down on some of the insights of your new book and much of the reporting you've been doing throughout your career about developments in the Middle East and beyond. We look forward to visiting with you at length. Congratulations on the new book.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Let's start with sort of the thesis of this book, if I can sort of cut to the chase. You have, for much of your career in journalism, been tracking Iran. You were, of course, also, in addition to everything else, the president and CEO of the Foundation for Democracy in Iran. You understand, perhaps as well as anybody, the nature of the Iranian regime. What role did it play, as you see it, in Benghazi on September 11th, 2012?
Well, here's what I found out in my investigation. The Iranians had been on the ground in Benghazi since the very beginning of the anti-Gaddafi uprising. They were there in March 2011. I first learned about this from a friend of mine, a source who was a defense contractor on the ground himself in Benghazi. He sent me emails, and we had some telephone conversations at that time. And he was surprised to see the Iranians there in the midst of a Sunni fundamentalist uprising against Gaddafi. Well, later, as I dug down into what happened during the attacks and what happened to precipitate the attacks, I learned that the CIA had been briefing Ambassador Stevens as early as June of 2012 about the Iranian presence and about Iran's direct relationship with Ansar al-Sharia, the group that has been pretty widely cited as having been present, at the very least, if not having orchestrated the attacks. And I took those two beginning fragments of information, if you wish, and began to drill down and talk to Iranian contacts, talk to people that I know in the special forces community. And I learned, in fact, that the Iranians had a full court press in Benghazi. They had dispatched a two-star general from the Quds force to oversee the operation. They were the ones who did all the planning for the attacks on Benghazi. They were the ones who spent money, spread it out like butter on bread, to every jihadi they could find in Benghazi, including, I'm certain, Abu Qatala, who had been brought to this country to be tried in a civil court for his role in the attack.
Let me ask you about two points on this, Ken, because one we ought to dispense with right up front, and that is that the Shiites of Iran never collaborate with, let alone work closely to a common end with Sunnis like those you've just described on the ground in Benghazi and elsewhere in Libya. And secondly, what was the object of the Iranian operations in Benghazi in the run-up to the attack?
Well, you're right to mention this old shibboleth that the Shias never collaborate with the Sunnis. That was something that I ran up against when I was investigating the 9/11 attacks, the September 11th, 2001 attacks on America. when I found that, in fact, the Iranians had played a direct material role in those attacks. And for many years, we were getting pushback from the CIA, from the intelligence community in general, until it turned out they discovered some, at the last minute of the 9/11 Commission investigation, that they themselves had stumbled on information showing Iran's involvement in the 9/11 attacks. And ultimately, I went on with lawyers representing the families of 9/11 victims to win a $6 billion judgment against the Iranian regime for their role in 9/11. So this is something that I think has crippled the intelligence community for many years, this belief that Iran won't work with Sunni groups. But look what's happening in Taliban, in Afghanistan with the Taliban. They work with the Taliban every day. The Taliban are Sunnis, and they're killing Americans. Look what's happening with Hamas. They work with Hamas every day, and they're killing Jews.
And in Iraq, and we'll spend much more time talking about this in a moment with Kenneth Timmerman, our guest for this hour. Investigative reporter and author of the new book, Dark Forces. But Ken, it's true, even the State Department's own country reports earlier this year made express that the Iranians have been working with Sunni groups, the people that are also killing their friends, the Shiites of Iraq, to foster instability and chaos there. So this is a well-established pattern, and as you say, it has been validated in federal court, based in no small measure on your own superb reporting and investigations on this matter. Just to come back to Benghazi for a moment, Ken, you had in the New York Post on the 20th of June a piece about the shadowy Iranian spy chief who helped plan the Benghazi attack. Talk a little bit about this fellow, Qasem Soleimani, and what, again, was his purpose in trying to foster, the conditions that led to, if not were directly responsible for, the attack on our diplomatic compound and CIA annex in Benghazi on the 12th of September 2011?
Well, I call Qasem Soleimani the Wizard of Oz of Iranian terrorism. He's there behind the screen in virtually everything that they do when they kill Americans or kill Jews, behind the scenes, behind the screen, operating, pulling the strings, sending the money, dispatching the operatives, is Qasem Soleimani. He heads a group called the Quds Force, which is the overseas expeditionary arm of the Revolutionary Guards. They are, many thousands in numbers. They are very well equipped, very well armed, and they've got a ton of money, probably something like $2 billion a year that they siphon out of the Iraqi banking system, by the way, that they can use for operations against the United States and against Israel. The Quds Force has gone so far as to actually try to hire a hitman to murder the Saudi ambassador in the United States in Washington, D.C. by blowing up a restaurant. So they operate far and wide. They operate in Mexico, in Central America. They operate in Africa. And here they're operating in Benghazi with the goal, Frank, with the goal of driving the United States out of Libya and of creating chaos so we could not claim a victory in Libya.
The other piece of this, Ken Timmerman, is that there was something going on from Libya that was directly affecting Iranian interests in Syria. Talk a little bit about the weapons pipeline that was being operated by Christopher Stevens, the U.S. ambassador, or at least under his oversight and direction, from Libya to Syria.
Well, this was another very disturbing thing that I discovered in my investigation, is that there were something like 2,500 surface-to-air missiles that went missing from Gaddafi's arsenal. Now, the State Department has actually acknowledged that they cannot account for those missiles, but then they go on to claim that, well, we can't account for them, but they've probably been destroyed, or, they're probably in somebody's backyard somewhere, and we'll find them. Not true, unfortunately.
They may well be in our backyard before we know it. That's kind of the rub here, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And we know that at least one of them, and not one of the Gaddafi's missiles, but a U.S. Stinger missile that was supplied by the CIA early on for the rebels. One of the Stingers went missing and turned up in Afghanistan in July of 2012 and was fired by the Taliban at a U.S. helicopter in Afghanistan. Luckily, the missile did not explode, and the pilot was able to make a hard landing. Everybody jumped out, and later on, as they did the investigation, they found a fragment from the missile casing in the nacelle, in the engine nacelle, and that fragment had the serial number. They tracked the serial number back to a lot of Stinger missiles that had been signed out to the CIA.
Ken, hold that thought. We're going to be back with three more segments of our very special interview with Kenneth Timmerman, the author of Dark Forces, The Truth About What Happened in Benghazi. We'll address the Benghazi Kipper at greater length and more right after this.
Listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.